Hi, everybody. I'm Wendy Murdock, and this is Webinars with Wendy. Today is Friday, and I'm doing a Surefoot talk today all by myself. We've had some people want to ask some questions about Surefoot, so I thought I'd just come back and do, another webinar and answer those questions. And if anybody has any questions, and if you're watching this later on YouTube and you have questions, just go ahead and type them in the comments. I'm more than happy to answer them. And that's a great place if you're watching this webinar after the fact. So hang on a sec, I got a little cough. All right. So I think what I'll do, just in, like most everybody tuning in here are very familiar with Surefoot pads, but I'll just kind of do a brief overview, kind of talk about where we are now. Basically, we're looking at 10 years ago in May. I put the first horse on a pad and saw a huge change, and I literally timed it for 15 seconds and he went from looking lame to sound. And that's what started this entire process of Surefoot. And then in that 10 years, we've been working hard on creating product that's going to be horse durable. That was a big deal. We came out with our products about 6 years ago now. Yeah. And they're fantastic. They're really hardy and sturdy. They do get damaged. And I'll talk about that as one of the most common questions that I get. But Surefoot is now around the world. It's in Australia, New Zealand, all over Europe, UK, United States, Canada, Mexico, Brazil, Japan. So we're a pretty international organization, and we love what it's doing for horses. I just had the great opportunity yesterday to go and do a little Surefoot demo. Because it's wintertime and we haven't been traveling, I haven't been doing all that much. So it was really, really fun. I went to the Nova Equestrian Center, which is a fitness center for horses in Aldi, Virginia. Dr. Jay Joyce and his wife have started this, and they want to incorporate Surefoot as part of their fitness program. So Catherine Wyckoff, one of my four-hoof Surefoot practitioners, and I went up there and I did a little demo, and it was great because I had two very different horses. I had Dr. Joyce's wife's horse and a five-year-old Andalusian. He's a really sweet guy. He's kind of in that gawky stage. He hasn't filled out yet, but he's gotten very tall, really handsome fellow. And of course, he really enjoyed the pads and showed us the typical, you know, stood on, I think I put him on two pads in the front by the end, just firm. Maybe it was a 10-minute session, probably 15 minutes just because I was talking. And we saw the classic neck lowering, walking better. Like when he walked off, he walked with his neck down. He's kind of a in your pocket kind of guy. And so one of the really interesting things was that he stopped being in my pockets. And stood there very quietly, and we could see the classic slow blinking, the changes in facial expression, all the typical things that we see with Surefoot. And this was great fun because I had all their therapists and the vet standing there watching as I was talking. And then there was this horse that was watching us that was banging his stall door. And, you know, they were like, there he goes again. This horse, as long as there's a human being within his sight, he bangs on his door. He's obnoxious. He fesses and, you know, he can't stand still. And so I said, well, let's work with him. And I'm so glad we did, because we brought him out. And when I looked at how he stood, I was like, does he always stand that way? And he was standing with his legs in, you know, four different corners. And they said, yeah, you know, it's kind of typical and he doesn't really stand still. And I was like, wow, well, I explained how when I see these horses, we typically want to talk about their behavior as, you know, oh, that horse, he's just a pain in the neck, or oh, that horse, he's obnoxious, or oh, that horse. And I think we do that because we don't have a solution to the behaviors. Right. So when we have a horse that's what we think of as badly behaved or obnoxious, or, you know, like him banging the stall door to get our attention, we tend to think of them as just badly behaved, but we tend not to think about why is he badly behaved. And so I love these horses because I brought them out and I talked about Robin Hood's description of fooling around as domesticated flight. And so there's fight, flight, freeze, faint, fool around. And that's really how I look at these horses now, that they're not okay. When we think of sympathetic, parasympathetic, and we think of the vagus nerve and the am I okay, these horses that are what we call obnoxious, they're often not okay. But we get distracted by the behavior instead of looking at, you know, why is this horse doing this? And so I started to describe them my idea about how these types of horses typically aren't well grounded. They're not well balanced. And just looking at the way he stood, I was like, is this typical? And they're like, yeah, this is how this horse stands. It's like, great. So I started, I started with a half physio pad, put it under his foot, and he stood there and he got quieter and he stood and walked him off. And we did this a few times. And then I switched to firm. I didn't really feel like I needed to go to hard. He showed no negative reaction to the pad. In fact, he instantly was curious about it. And so then I went over to his right side and I couldn't get to his right side. He swung his neck around at me. He moved away from me and they were like, oh yeah, he's really difficult on his right side. So I said, okay, no problem. I went back over to the left side. I did the left front foot again. And I think I may have at that point decided to just put a second pad under the right foot. So let him feel it on the left and then match it on the right. And when I came around to the right side again, I could put that foot on the pad. And it appeared that he was just like people. We have a leg that we feel more secure on. And it seems as though he felt more solid and secure on his left front than his right front. So when I put the pad under his right front, you could see him lean down heavier on the left front. And when we think about this more secure leg, the way we have to think about it is if you're walking across an unstable surface as yourself, like say you're going over some rocks, the leg you're going to move forward is the leg that is not your secure leg. In other words, you're going to keep your weight on your leg that feels really secure, and you're going to move the other leg forward because you don't feel as secure on that leg. It's freer to move. So when I watch horses, I apply that same concept that the leg that they're really secure on is sometimes the leg that you can't pick up because they need that leg. And they're like, don't take away the leg that I feel secure on. Or sometimes it's the easier leg to work with. In this case, it was just really obvious how uncomfortable he was on that right side the first time I approached. So when I did the pads under both front feet, I mean, this horse stood. And what we noticed is that when he would walk away and come back, he was standing more square. In fact, he was standing square behind. And then when he came back, he was standing four square. And we maybe did 10 minutes. And that's total time. That's standing on the pads and going for a walk and coming back. We were working in a barn aisle, nice big open barn aisle, nice place to work. It was fairly comfortable because it was cold last night. And they couldn't believe how quickly not only did they see him stand square, but also how the behavior stopped. He stood there. He wasn't fussing. He wasn't trying to move. He just stood quietly. And like I said, I maybe did about 10 minutes with him because, you know, one of the questions I get for people, one of the things that is hard for people to understand is the duration. How long should a horse stand on pads and how long should a session be? So I'll talk about that in a moment. But with this horse, you know, maybe 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes, because I was busy talking to everybody. But during that time, he wasn't always on pads. And then we put him back in his stall and we were still standing in the barn aisle. So I looked over and at one point he was banging his knee on the door again. But we didn't respond to that. And then I just waited and I looked over and the next thing I saw the head coming down. I saw the deeper eye blinking and then he moved away from the door. And then at one point I couldn't see him. I was like, did he lay down? And she says, no, he's standing against the other wall. So we did not change our behavior. We did not leave the area. And in the past, as long as there was a human being in that space, he would try to get their attention. But after this 10 to 15 minute session, he went back in his stall. Yes, we saw a bit of the behavior, which is totally expected, all right? You don't ask a chain smoker to quit smoking and not want a cigarette. It was totally expected that he might do that behavior again. But what was really, really interesting is you could see that the process was still influencing him. And this is one of the things that I find so fascinating about Surefoot, is that it's not so much what happens on the pads. While that's incredibly interesting and very exciting, it's what's happening afterward that's still happening in a horse like this, who's had very strong behavior, you know, clearly been standing in a really out of balance way, clearly been a behavior issue with his banging and his distraction and his inability to stand. And in that short period of time, go back and go quiet and in the stall, and you forgot he was there. Literally, you forgot he was there. So I really want to contact them back today. I forgot to send him an email before I started the webinar to see how he was today. Exactly. And I'm going to check some as soon as I get done with this webinar, and I'll put the answer in the chat when I put the webinar up. But you know, this is one of the things about Surefoot that is so fascinating and so amazing, is that, you know, we see these kinds of changes. So there's so many benefits to Surefoot that people don't necessarily recognize or acknowledge at first. A lot of people want to think about it for rehabilitation, for proprioception. It's all great for balance, for core stability training. It's fantastic. Right. But the thing that I find so interesting is the mental and emotional changes that we see in horses from something like this, from such a short period of time on the pads, to have such a huge effect. Okay. So I don't see any questions yet in my chat. I will talk about duration, because that's one of the most common questions, you know, like, and if you have questions after this webinar, you ever want to ask a question, you could always go to the Fans of Surefoot Equine page. It's a group. Join the group. We got over 5,000 members in that group now. Everybody's fantastic. There's veterinarians and farriers, and people are always willing to chime in and help you out if you have a question. So please feel free to ask questions there. So one of the most common questions we get is, how long should my horse stand on the pads? Especially in the beginning, I always say, keep your time short. So you keep the time on the pad short, that's under a minute, and you keep this overall session short, 10 to 15 minutes. So a session is from the time you start using pads to the time you stop doing working with them and the horse. Okay, that's a session. And the time on the pads is the time you place a foot on a pad until they walk off or you walk them off. You know, there are some horses that will not walk off. There are some horses that get on pads and just want to stay there. But in the beginning, we really need to be a good parent. We need to ask them to walk off, because they can become sore. And I've seen it happen. And it's hard to explain to your horse, gee, your muscle's sore because you use different muscles from standing on the pads that challenged your balance and proprioception. So if we keep the time on the pads short in the beginning, we can always increase that length of time as we see the horse progress. And this is the thing, if you have ever seen any clips of Felicitas von Neumann-Cosell and what she's doing with her horses, she'll let those horses stand for 10 to 15 minutes. I can pull up a picture of Felicitas. We went and filmed last summer at her place. I have not yet released that video, but you know, we were working with her horse, and this horse here, this particular horse is her stallion, and she'll let him stand on the pads for about 10 minutes. Now you have to remember, he's been doing this for 3 to 4 years now, so he's not new to this party, right? So that's the thing, is the as you get started with Surefoot, you keep it short in the beginning, but once you start to see how your horse responds and how he feels about the pads, then you can decide, okay, I'm going to let him stay a little longer. This horse here, they've never been able to capture it on film, but he will stand on the pads. And when he gets off, he does this enormous cat stretch. And they were so funny because they said, we've never been able to film it, but he does it on a regular basis. Right. And let me just drop the sound out, and you can just see that, you know, his eye is really soft and he's licking and chewing. And one of the things Felicitas was saying, and obviously she's talking to us right now because we were filming her, is she talks about how she wants to be able to step back out of their space and let them process, and just let them stand there on their own. And I really agree with her on that, because we want that horse to be able to figure this out, right? We want this horse to benefit from the pads internally in his, on his own way. And so by being able to step back and look to see, can they maintain their balance? How are they responding to the pads? You know, when are they ready to step off? And as you can see, given his choice, you know, he will step off on his own. So, I mean, I've known horses to, they'll stay on pads for 15 minutes. But again, they're horses that are very experienced. And so we don't have to worry about the soreness issues. And I think that that's something really important to keep in mind. So, you know, I always feel like I'm kind of talking to those that are just starting out with Surefoot and how important it is to keep it short in the beginning and then that you can expand out later. One of the other major questions that I get is that, you know, my pad has broken. And actually, your pad hasn't broken, but your pad will show wear and tear. And so this is Felicitas's pads. She stacks them. Sometimes she triple stacks them. She uses them with every single horse every day. That's like 6 horses, 5 days a week. So these pads are being used in more of an industrial sense than the typical single horse owner or a horse owner that just has a couple of horses. And as you can see, they are definitely showing wear and tear. They're showing cracks and nicks. There's a little corner missing over here and they're still working. And so, you know, we need to recognize that the Surefoot tools are simply that. They are tools to a result, and the result is priceless. You cannot put a price on the kind of effect we had with the horse yesterday that went from the, you know, being labeled as the kind of obnoxious fool around horse that can't stand still, that's never in balance, to the calm, quiet horse that we don't have to worry about anymore. There's no price that you can put on that in terms of your emotional state, their emotional state, how willing they're going to be to easy it is going to be for them to recover, how much they can work in partnership with us. You cannot put a price on that. And so what you have to realize is that your Surefoot pads are the tools to that success. They are going to get worn. Yay. It means you're using them and helping a lot of horses. And so Felicitas actually says, you know, if your pads don't look like this, you're not using them enough. And you can see here that you can see that hoof print that stomped right into the middle of that pad. And I mean, the pads will wear out. You know, they will, this firm pad here, after a while, it just does not return to its original square shape. Okay. You're wearing it out. It's still going to work, right? The surface cracks, it's still going to work. You know, if the edges get damaged, that typically what we see with the edge damage, and because she's stacking, you see a lot more damage on the edges, because when the horses come off that stack, they sometimes can, you know, slide a pad one over the other. Let me see if I can pause this and find a picture of stacking here. They'll slide one pad over the other. For the video, I didn't want her to show stacking because it was just more of a beginning, but I'm sure I have a picture here somewhere. And I put you guys on pause so you're not living with my crazy photo search here. There's a little bit of stacking. But you can see here, she's got the horse stacked too high. Okay. She sometimes stacks 3 high. That's really tough on the pads, right? That's going to really put them through their paces. And that's where you typically will get more damage because the horse will slip off the edge or catch it. And, you know, we have to realize we are talking about a foam pad. It is, oh, here's another stacking picture I can show you. They need to be soft to work. Like in our process of making Surefoot pads, we made pads that would not get damaged and they no longer worked. So it wasn't going to do us any good. So please remember that your pads are going to show some wear and tear. That doesn't mean they don't work and it doesn't mean they're broken. It simply means you're using them and you're putting a very large animal on a soft surface that is designed to give and therefore is going to show wear. If anybody has any questions about that, and you want me to talk about that more, just pop that in the chat. I think the people that are on here right now recognize that. And, you know, when you think about the cost, like, you know, now you think about the cost of a set of shoes, it's like $130 to $260 a month. And we're talking a pair of Surefoot pads, you know, that are going to last years. We literally have, I've saw some pads at Otterbein University that they got 4 years ago, and they don't really have any marks on them, and they are using them. So damage can occur very randomly. Like I said, those pads, no signs of damage whatsoever. The most common time I think that a pad get damaged, and when I get emails complaining about it, I think it happens in the beginning of the horse's experience in Surefoot. In other words, you put their foot on a pad or two, and they don't know what to do with this. And so they move their feet, they step on the edge of the pad, and they cut it or tear it. It's one of the reasons we make the pads the size that they are. So there's plenty of working surface. If the edges get a bit banged up, no big deal. You still got lots to work on. And as you can see with those other pads, they were still working fine. So I think from just kind of, you know, the comments that I've seen coming in and when they come in, it seems to me that the most likely time that a pad's going to get damaged is early on in the horse's experience of being on an unstable surface or when you're stacking them. And sometimes I think people overestimate their horse's ability to navigate an unstable surface, and they might have been better off starting with a harder pad. Medium is not a starter pad. Medium is very springy. It can make horses nervous because it has that rebound. So it is not a starter pad. I see, you know, I'll notice when I'm filling orders that I'll see medium pads going out as first choice. I really don't think medium is a first choice pad. Hard and firm are your first choice pads, or half physio. So just keep that in mind. You know, don't overestimate. Oh yeah, great. What pad you start with? So somebody just asked the question, what pad to start with? And it's half physio pad. If your horse is really anxious and nervous and, you know, really skittish about things, for farriers and barefoot trimmers, the physio pads are fantastic. So if that's what your primary job is, you know, you really need one of those in your pocket. We have so many farriers and barefoot trimmers now using Surefoot that, you know, tell us, I couldn't work on this horse without that pad. So that's just a really good one. I always keep one in my car. I can put a person on it. I can put it in my, on my car seat. We've seen people do that. I can put it in my bag if I'm flying. So that I'm never without a pad. It's an easy and handy pad to have. You know, I've seen it help horses with colic. I've seen it help horses with stress. And so if I had just one pad I could take with me, I would take a half physio pad just because of its ease and its size and it and everything. When you're starting out with your horses, your choices is hard or firm as your first choice pad after the physio pad. You choose hard when your horses are unfit, nervous, anxious, flighty, question new things, have health issues, anything that's not okay. It'll do the job. I started out with the half physio pad with both those horses last night, even though the gray horse was totally okay. I just wanted to show everybody the process, and we could already see a change with the half physio pad. Okay. So hard is 2 inches of the same material as the top of the half physio pad. So the half physio pad is an inch of hard and a half inch of medium. So it has a little bit of softness. You can flip it over and use the softer side. Hard is 2 inches of the same material. Hard slant is the same material in an angle. So like last night, it was cold, and the hard pad will get harder in cold temperatures and softer in warm temperatures, but it still does its job. And it was really interesting to watch the gray horse on the hard pads, because as the warmth of his foot and his weight was on the pad, the pad started to give, and you could literally watch this horse melt. It was really cool. And so, you know, here's a calm horse, and I still started with hard. But typically, if the horse is really calm, takes everything in stride, doesn't have any health issues, you know, is okay with things, you can start with firm. Okay. So somebody's asking about horses with snow studs or snow and ice during the winter time. The pads seem to hold up fine. Last winter, we have somebody in Norway and they were concerned. And so we made another pad with a different type of top, but it changed the texture. So it made it a stiffer pad than what it was. But what we've found is that the physio pad and the heart are going to be the best for that. They're fine. You might see little indents. I've seen some little, you know what does more damage is women in spike heels. I had a woman at AAP stand on the pads with spike heels and she poked a hole in my pad. but with the horses, it doesn't seem to be as bad. And we've had people use the pads with borium on their shoes. That doesn't, again, seem to be a problem. So we thought we might have to make a winterized pad, but in the end, we don't. We had one person take like vinyl, you know, like the vinyl curtain material that you have to block the flies from coming into the stall. She put a piece of vinyl over her half physio pad to protect it. It was fine, but we just haven't seen damage from the winter shoes to the degree that would warrant us to be concerned about it. Okay. Do I ever loosen the nose bend to let the horse have a free jaw? Well, a lot of times we work in a halter. So that's a lot of times, you know, I like to start the horse unmounted. I will loosen a nose bend. I will make it so the horse can move his jaw around a lot more. So absolutely. Good question. And on that topic, I prefer a flat halter and a regular cotton lead or rope lead, as opposed to a rope halter or a lead with a chain. Why do I prefer a flat halter? Because the rope halters have so much momentum. If you move that rope, if you know anything about acceleration of force, the heavier the rope, and when you move it, it has a big swing factor. And so you could be putting pressure on the horse's nose or different parts of his head from your rope halter inadvertently. And we want these horses to be able to relax and lower their head down. So if they go to lower their head and that rope halter moves a lot on their face, it might disturb that process. So I prefer a flat halter and just a regular lead shank, just a rope lead. It's not always possible, and sometimes people don't have that available. What we're trying to do is not disturb the horse in its process of relaxation. We want to allow the horse to let down and not have anything interfere with that. So stepping back, if you're working with an owner, having an owner step back and not pet their horse while the horse is standing on pads or, you know, messing with their mane. If it's with a rider on board, having them stop petting, not easy to do to get the owners to just let the horse be. But if you can, that's a really good idea. Somebody said, good to know, I prefer flat halters in both cases and take my own with me with an extra. That's an awesome idea, Moy, because, you know, it's just a lot of horses, they're so reactive to that rope halter because they've had it shaken at them and they're going to react upward. And we really want to be able to let these horses let down. That's really important. Somebody says, confirms my thought that there is no place or justification for high-heeled shoes in women. Absolutely. All right. So I'm going to read. Oh, wait, I have another question over here. This is great. Why would I put the horse on pads with a rider on them? Oh, it's an excellent question. And it's one of my favorite things to do. So obviously my day job is teaching riding. And I started this with a horse under saddle way back 10 years ago. But the biggest reason for working with the rider on board, and obviously I make sure the horse is okay before I put the rider up. I put the horse on pads before I put the rider on. In fact, I have on my Patreon page, Murdoch Method on Patreon, I'm uploading video of two case studies that were 3 days with the same horses, a Mustang and a thoroughbred off the track. And I start one of them with the rider on, but I checked it out and he was okay. And you can see my process doing that. And the other one, I checked it out and I took the rider off, and you can see why I did that. Typically, and to be safe, it's always better to introduce the surefoot pads with a horse that is unmounted and you know, whether that's with or without tack, but unmounted, before you have the rider on. The reason for doing surefoot with the rider on is that horses have habits in environments, just like we do. So, you know, you might be one way when you're around your boss and another way when you're with your coworkers. I always say, what do you like when you visit your mother? And what do you like when you visit your friends? So you visit your friends, everything's great. You have a drink, ha ha ha, you know, you have a good time. And then you have, you know, a mother who might have been really strict and wants you to sit in good posture and, you know, not talk while you're eating, all those good things. And so when you get around your mom, you have a different set of habits. They're environmental. So, you know, when we're working with a horse and we're in the barn or he's untacked and he's relaxed, he's going to show us one thing. But the minute you put that tack on or take him into the arena, he may have habits to the equipment. It might have caused him pain in the past. He might have habits to the arena. There might have been a trainer that he, you know, was not nice, or an environment where there's something spooky and scary. And so when we work with the rider on board, we address the habits of being ridden. We address the habits of the balance of the horse under saddle. And more importantly, we address the rider's habitual beliefs about their horse. So how many riders do you know that say, my horse always, fill in the blank, you know, falls to the shoulder or shies at that corner or doesn't like picking up his lead or whatever. And those habits may not be, or those patterns may be habits. They may not be a physical problem, but they may be a habitual problem, whether the saddle didn't fit in the past or the horse had really bad teeth and was ridden in a bit that was uncomfortable, just like us. So, you know, if you have an injury and you start to limp because of your injury and then it heals, but you've been limping for 3 weeks, unless you repattern, you're going to keep limping in many cases. And so horses hold habitual habits environmentally or to their equipment or their rider. And by working with that horse under saddle, you address the horse's habits. And more importantly, the rider's perception of their horse changes. The rider's perception of their horse changes as they feel their horse become conscious, change its pattern of movement, think about where its feet are. One of the most common comments I hear from people is, I can feel my horse's hind feet. And I always wonder, what did they feel before? Because this is like a revelation. I can feel my horse's back feet. You know, and I'm thinking, wow, I wonder what you were feeling before if this is what you're telling me now. A lot of times we don't realize it. We don't realize something's missing. And then when it's there, we're like, wow, this is really cool. The other thing that I worked with a really top Grand Prix dressage rider over in Germany. His name is Jan, and beautiful mare, gorgeous, lovely rider. Watched him ride the horse, really nice. Started doing surefoot with the horse. His comment afterward was that I no longer have to train my horse. I simply get to ride my horse. And so by using surefoot, we helped her find a better balance, and he didn't have to constantly manage the training issues. He just got to enjoy riding her. And so this is one of the reasons why I love doing surefoot under saddle. I love the person to feel all the little subtle movements that this horse is making and the way they walk off and think about their foot meeting the ground and the way they start to move differently and their stride opens. And you can move the horses a lot easier under saddle, you know, rather than on a tight circle or on a lunge line. You know, you can really move them and you can employ the change immediately into movement. So, you know, there's been cases where I've worked with a horse and they're struggling with a flying change. So I'll have them, you know, do a little bit of surefoot, have them warm up, ride the horse a bit. And then I'll start putting the horse on pads and then having them go right back to an activity whether that's right back to can or pick up your flying change or to a lateral movement. And so you employ it immediately into the process of training, and the horses have a different understanding of their body and their proprioception and where they are in space and their grounding. And suddenly you can start feeling the horse figuring out what this balance issue is that they couldn't get in just training them. It brings in a new level of awareness. It's really awesome. So somebody saying the horse's environment contains so many more factors than what we would acknowledge and notice. Absolutely. And, you know, they have memories, they have habitual problems and memories just like we do. And so, you know, once we acknowledge that the horse has habits, which is what Surefoot helps you really, really see, then it's addressing those habits. There's very few times where I've seen a horse get worse after doing Surefoot. I mean, there's very few times. And in those times, if I see a horse getting worse, Surefoot hasn't made him worse. Surefoot has decompensated him, taken away the compensatory pattern the horse was using to mask the problem and made it more obvious. But in 99% of the cases, I don't see that. What I see is the horse just improve, which tells me that what we're seeing is a change in a habit pattern. Think of it as like rebooting the computer. And so if we're seeing changes in habit patterns, then really how much of what we deal with so many horses is a habit pattern that got set up somewhere and never addressed. And so never let go of to reset the horse back to normal. Like the horse I saw last night that was standing with his legs in four different corners and was the problem child. And the minute I started doing Surefoot, literally in 10 minutes, the horse is standing square. And they're like, we have never seen him stand like that. And with that change in stance, with that balanced stance, we saw a change in behavior. So it leads me to one of my number one tenets is that all behavior problems are balance problems. So all behaviors are balance problems, mental, emotional, or physical. And if you're physically out of balance, you're going to be mentally and emotionally out of balance because, you know, you think about somebody putting a halter on your head and leading you while you don't feel in balance. And then they take away the 40-pound block at the end of the 3-foot lever on your neck that you swing around to adjust to kind of cope. And now somebody's got a hold of that and they're saying, but you have to keep your head over here. And I'm like, I need to put it over here because I'm out of balance. And oh, by the way, I'm falling, controlled falling, and I'm falling over here. And now you're telling me I can't fall. That sets up anxiety. The other way to think about it is always leaning off a cliff all the time. And that sets up anxiety. So the more you work with Surefoot, the more you use the pads, in my opinion, the more you're going to see how much of what you see is a balance issue, right? Even if it's in rehab and you're rehabbing from an injury, you're still dealing with a balance issue because they've offloaded for the injured leg. And so it's restoring and resetting. Okay, so I'm going to ask Pat's question that she sent to me by email. She said, I purchased 2 Surefoot pads, medium and soft, after they were recommended for my 16-year-old appendix gelding with KS. I assume that's kissing spine. Following an evaluation at a university, his KS is grade 2 mild to moderate, and the pads were part of the treatment program to allow me to continue to ride him into the future. No competitions. He's my first horse, and I was 71 when I purchased him. I introduced the pads gradually to him last summer, first the front 2 and then the back 2. His response was to stay on the pads and sway a bit as he adjusted his balance. I had him on all 4 pads for a few days. Regrettably, I went out of town for 10 days, and upon my return, he wanted nothing to do with the pads. I continue sporadically to put 2 on the front, but he steps off them within a minute, sometimes less. How should I proceed? I'm riding him now, but also using Pessoa and Equicore band 1 or 2 days a week. So his therapy is continuing. I have contemplated giving him an orange when he's on all 4 as a reward. He's very food motivated. I fear he may think he is finished when he gets the treat and step off the pads. I think our other horse, Liam, will benefit from using the stability pads, but I'm not confident in my approach of what I should do. Liam has a sweet disposition, so there's no naughty or unsafe behavior with the pads, and he is willing to have them under his feet. So Patty, the first thing I got to tell you is the minute you put a horse on 4 pads, it's a huge neurological input. And in my experience, if I'm doing a session and I put a horse on 4 pads, when I come back to put any pads under their feet, they're typically toast. They're like done. So you know, four pads is a really lot of input into the nervous system. Not all horses can handle or are ready for it right away. I'm just saying that in that, you know, sometimes we think the goal is to get the horse on four pads or to get the horse on stacked pads because we saw somebody else doing it or we've been told us what we're supposed to do. But in some cases, that's an awful lot for horses and they're either not ready or it's too much. So I just want to say that I don't see it as a goal. Now, the way I use Surefoot and the way Surefoot is prescribed are two different things. For me, the way I created this, I'm a Feldenkrais practitioner, which is a type of body awareness movement so that you gain more possibilities of movement. And it's very Socratic. We ask tons of questions. And it's about exceeding or finding our potential. Okay, so if we have repeated move, when we get out of high school, we have about 800 patterns of movement out of 5,000 possible ones based on our bones. And then as we start to do repeated things, we use less and less and less. And Feldenkrais helps us restore that movement. So Surefoot, my philosophy comes from the Feldenkrais method philosophy, giving the horse a choice. It's all about awareness. There's nothing wrong. And even here, there's nothing wrong. I know that in some cases it's being prescribed where you have to put the horse on so many pads and they have to stay there for so many minutes. If it works, great. But if it doesn't work, where do you go? So for me, Surefoot's about awareness and opportunity and giving horses choice and asking questions. And so giving horses choice, one of the choices for me is if you want to walk off, walk off. If you want to walk off, there's several reasons why. And I'll give you a list. And this is going to be coming out in the first workbook is why do horses walk off pads? Flies. I got to Australia in 2019 and, one of my associates was using Surefoot pads and the horse, you know, wouldn't stay on the pad. And I realized, oh my God, I'm back in Australia. The flies are so bad here. Flies. Fright. They might get scared. Okay. Friends. They might see a buddy and they walk off to go to the buddy. Food. They might, you know, start food seeking and walk off. Flight, fries, friends, falling. They can lose their balance and fall off the pads. Follow, you know, if I step back a little bit, they'll follow me. Or finished, they're done. You know, and that's one of the ways that they show us that they're done, that they've gathered information from the pads and they're finished with it, is that they walk off. Now, in your horse's case, I can't say which one of those things is the reason why he walks off. I also wonder if you're trying to do all four pads every time, in which case I would suggest that you just do one foot. And I also would highly suggest that you start with your other horse because, you know, it's really hard with an N of one. With one horse, it's really hard to see the sort of the gamut of responses and reactions that a horse will give you. But if the more horses you work with, the more you kind of see the nuances and understanding and subtlety and can accept what one horse does over another horse. So I would suggest that you go ahead and work with your other horse, but just start with one pad. And by the way, I don't think of medium and soft as my starter pads. I think of hard and firm or physio pad as my starter pads. So, and the reason for that, medium's very springy. It may be too springy. You know, he might've been able to do it before, but it may be too springy for him now. Soft is going to have the most give and be the most laterally unstable. So in your little collection there, I'd really like to see something, either a half physio pad or hard or a firm pad, to just have something a bit more stable. I can't say for any certainty why he won't do it now. I don't think you going away is necessarily the cause. I'm just wondering how much choice he had when you were working with him and if he had choice to walk off. So, you know, if he didn't, maybe now he's kind of like, well, you know, I didn't have permission before. And so now I don't want to. I'm just guessing here. Okay. But that's where, if you start with your other horse and just start with one foot and one pad and really break it down and not be in a rush to get to four pads or any length of time standing on them. I think that you'll find when you change your perspective, you will see a different response in your horses. So we had one woman on the fans page one time. She had a, it must have been a GoPro, and she put it on time lapse, and she showed us working with her horse in the barn aisle, and the horse wouldn't stand on the pad. And I can tell you, just watching that clip, it was, to me, there was too much expectation and demand. He won't stand on these expensive pads, as opposed to offering, would you like to stand on this pad? And when the horses sense that there's more demand than offer, sometimes there it sets them off and they're like, no, I don't want to do that. Just like people, just like me. If you kind of push me in one direction, I'm very Scottish and I push back. So I would suggest that you work with your other horse. Just start with one foot and one pad and just, you know, make it 5 minutes of fun, right? And then come back the next day and see if he wants to do that again. And let the first horse watch. Let him watch. We have many stories about somebody going to work with a horse, and the observer horse would come over and put himself on the pads because they were on the ground, or let down just as much as the horse that was on the pads. And yes, I get that the reason they've been recommended is for core stability and proprioception and rehab. However, if the horse is not relaxed on them, I don't know how much of the benefit you're going to get in that direction. So I would just say, really slow the process down, work with your other horse, consider getting a stiffer pad, half physio, hard, or firm. I don't even have any hard in stock right now. I've been dealing with supply chain issues. But just start there and really slow down and just think about what you see in your horses when you work with Surefoot, as opposed to what they should do when they're on the pads. And hopefully that'll help you a lot. And if you have any more that you want to add to that, just pop it in the chat there in the Q&A and let me know if that answered your question or if you need any more help or guidance there on that one. Okay. All right. So what other questions do we have here? Anybody? No. I'll give you a second. In the meantime, I'll go looking for some fun video. Okay. I always like watching Surefoot video. Let's see what I've got here. Oh, this was a really interesting mare. This was a test. So this is the mare's response, okay? And you can see that at this point, her eyes are totally shut and her lips are really droopy. And she is a horse that's at with a very good dressage trainer. And I went to see her to show her Surefoot. And I worked with this one horse. And then she asked me to work with this horse who was very skeptical about things, very uncertain about things, very, you know, like, what are you doing to me now? Like, just didn't want to be poked or prodded or in any way, you know, she'd been told what to do so much. And I just, you know, went through the same process that I do with every of the horses. I just offer it to them. And then this all happened when she was not on a pad. So one of the things to realize is that so much of the processing can happen when they step off. Like here, you can see that the pad's here and we just waited for her and she got this incredibly soft face and relaxed neck and really went dreamy. And that really sold the trainer. She was convinced at that point. So yeah, while they're on the pads, there's amazing stuff that can happen. And then there's the after they've been on the pads stuff that happens afterward. Oh, there's a really neat video of this gray mare. Oh, wait, that's what she's done on a pad there. Here we go. This mare here, and let me just resume share. Let's see if I can make it bigger here. She was really interesting. And you can see there's a chain shank. I would prefer a shank without a chain because look at the funny way, you know, the weight of it as it loops. She was really interesting because when we started with her, she would fall to the left. Like you'd pick up her foot and she'd just fall to the left and couldn't stop falling. So that's when I realized I needed to include falling. And there you can see her step to the left. And that's what she was falling to the left when we started with her. Really nice mare. It's just another little short video of her here. So, you know, it's not uncommon to see a horse fall off a pad. And here you can see that she's just got her heel on that half physio pad. And while there was no damage from this because the footing is soft and everything, if you're on a hard surface and they're half on, half off, this is where the edges can get damaged. You know, you've got the weight of a horse coming down with or without a shoe. Barefoot tends to slice pads where shoes tend to tear it. You've got that weight coming down. And when you have that change in surface from foam to hard, that's where you can get damage, right? But you can see we've got that nice closed eye, that dreamy look, and she's barely got the back of her foot on that pad. So again, it's not necessary for her to stand with her entire foot on the pad. Here's an interesting way to use the slants. I can't remember if we intentionally did it this way. I think we might've. Right? We've put her in a little bit of pronation with the hard slant. You can see that she's standing a bit more square here. And you notice that she's got her head over that foot that's on the pad, but you can see this droopy lower lip. The ears get really soft until she hears something. The deep blinky eyes. Yep. Yeah. So this is where I was like, do we really need to have that chain shank? That's just putting weight on the halter. And that's what I'm trying to avoid is the weight on their head. Yes, she followed her off. But just before that, you could see here, right? She moved her head. And as she came back, her head weight comes back, right? And you can see how it's thrown her rib cage over to the opposite side, which has unweighted that front foot. And then of course it steps over, right? But she was falling through that left shoulder before we started and couldn't really stand on the pads without falling over. Let me see what else. Oh, it's a cute little guy. Let's see what else I've got here. Pods. Moy asked me about pods. I'm glad I pulled up this picture. Here's a pod shot. And Moy, I'm surprised you didn't put it in the chat there. All right. So I'm going to unshare my screen for a second and talk about pods. No video. Oh, did you get to see it at all? I could do it again. I can't see the chat when I'm watching the video. There was a delay. Yeah, that's the biggest problem with video on Zoom is the delay. No video. All right, let me go back and just screen share and show that again. And then we're going to talk about pods. Zoom share. So can you should be able to, let me see if I can get the chat where I can see it at the same time as I know. Let's see, hang on, let me stop share and change my screen size. I'm on my laptop, so when I have video open, sometimes I lose the chat. Except the last video. Okay, let me find the last video. I think this is the last one. Yes, I am across the pond. Oh, starting with the slants. Okay. Let me find that one. Where is it? That's the half physio pad. There's the slant. Okay. Share screen. Share. And it's true that video breaks up a lot on Zoom. Okay, so here she is on that hard slant and it's angled, slightly pronated, right? And you can see how she has her head organized over that foot that's on the pad. And you can see how her face, she gets really blinky and we pop the chain off. And the door is out to her right where she's looking. But then as she swings her head around, you can see, and I'll just take that back a little bit so I can drag it. She brings her head around. Here, her rib cage, you can see right there that her rib cage shifts to the right And as it shifts to the right, it unweights that front leg and she steps over. And this is where she was falling to the left when we started, that she, you'd pick her foot up and put it on a pad and she just falls to the left. But here you can see she's able to stay. And then when her head weight gets over there, she has to move her foot, right? She's going to get her foot underneath her head. And then I went forward and let me just pause share while I get to the next picture. But it made me think about pods because I saw this picture. Here we go. Right. So hopefully you can see this picture of a horse standing on pod, on a single pod. And it's a really nice stance on a pod here. It's what I call a straight load, where you can see that the weight's coming down through and the distribution on the pod is really even. Yeah, there's a bit of bulge up in front. The horse didn't come out totally centered on the pod, but it's very even distribution. Whereas with a lot of horses, let me see if I can find my pods folder. That is not the case. But the pods are advanced. The pods are something you wouldn't use unless your horse is really comfortable on pads, because it's a much smaller surface area and you have to be able to target their foot. So they need to be really comfortable. Let's see all. There we go. Okay. Resume share. They have to be really comfortable. Come on. There we go. Okay. Can you see a horse standing on two purple pods? Moy, hang on, Moy. I got to figure out where your hand's raised. Yes. Okay, great. All right. Moy, can you type your question? Or is it too hard to type your question? I'm struggling here between Zoom and my screen share. So while we're figuring out if Moy can type in her question, what you can see here is how the horse is standing in terms of the pattern. On this foot, you can see that there's a lot more pressure here on the lateral side of the foot. And you can see how this pod here has rolled up a bit. So this surface has come off the ground. So she's kind of slipped to the back. Now, what I really like about pods is you can see different types of what I call loading, toe, heel, lateral. I'm asking when I would offer a pod after I've done pads. So if I have a horse that, I've gone through several different pads. I've moved from hard to firm, maybe a slant. Everything's good. You know, the horse will stand on two pads. Then I might consider offering a pod. Nope, before stacking. Yep, I do it well before. In fact, Felicitas started stacking. I was using pods long before stacking, but you can stack pods on pads. Here you can see a toe slip where you can see how the pod rolled up from the back. Now, this horse is a super interesting horse because she had a hugely severe injury. Her forearm, upper arm was cut down to the bone. It took over a year to heal. Afterwards, she had a lot of scarring. She'd had therapy, but she was still not right. Okay. This on the blue pod, and all the pods are the same, they're just different colors, but the one on the blue pod is the injured leg. This was the uninjured leg, and you can see how she, here's where the pod started out. You can see the imprint of it. And she toe loaded so bad, she rolled that whole pod up. Whereas on this one, it doesn't look like it, but she's heel loading a bit. And you can see how the pod started out here and she's rolled it back. Now this is the horse. And if I zoom in, here's the scar, and I'll just trace it all the way down, right? That was a huge injury. And this was her second session. So I'd done a session with this horse about a month before. We did a variety of pads. She was really cool. I came back a month later. She had not seen pads in between. We started out with pads again, and then I progressed to pods. So here you can see where the pod started, and she side-slipped it, right? And here she's also side-slipping, and you can see that just by the way the pod is curling and the imprint of where it was. So so what I would do is stand her on the pods, let her go for a walk, come back, repeat. So I did this several times. And again, you can see how she's totally sideslipped this. This is where the pod started. This is where her foot wound up. It's really nice to do this on good footing because the pods will roll. They'll pop up on, you can use this on a hard surface, but they will tend to pop a little more if they slip off of it. Right. They don't seem to be frightened by it at this point because they probably popped a pad up on their leg. Why are the pods not smooth like the pads? Actually, Bob Bowker thinks that the nubbies have an effect on the sensory part of the sole of the foot. So he actually likes the fact that there's some texture there, giving a different feel to the sole of the foot. And they're also air filled. So they're going to push up into the foot rather than give to the foot. So it's tactile. And as they, obviously the pressure increases, right? And here you can see how much, this is the foot that looked so nice on it before. Now she's totally toes slipped and rolled it, right? And here she's heel slipped a bit. Right there, she's really toe slipped, and I think this is actually a slow motion, but we'll play this little video. It's slow motion, but you can see how we've got a heel slip here. But now you can see that this foot standing actually really square on that pad. And so I'm looking for this straight load, and what I find with them is that the horses, they don't seem to mind the pods slipping and popping at that point, right? When I get to pods, they don't seem to mind. But here's this horse now, and look how much more even she is on her two front feet, right? We don't see the slipping, a little bit of heel load here, but we don't see that slipping. And here she is, you can see how much more square she is. So there's something about the pods that put in different information, right? Than the pads. And here you can see side slipping medially and heel slipping on this one. Here's a back foot, and look at where the pod started and how much there was a heel slip, right? Whereas this one, the left hind, is quite straight loaded, right? And that's what I look for. I aim for the third row of dots. And what I can see is it's quite even in its weight distribution all the way around, and it didn't slide anywhere. We don't see any slippage like we do on this left right hind, where it really rolled the pod off, right? Here's just a lateral view of that heel slip and where the pod started and where the foot wound up. And that's just a back view of the same thing. But here you can see, and this is what I think of as a straight load, is that it looks like the weight's evenly distributed all the way around. Okay, and here's this same horse, and now we have a toe lateral slip with this right hind and a heel slip with the left hind. So again, here's the print of the pod, and here's where it wound up. So they just, it's fascinating to watch how each time you place them on the pods, that things will change, and you can really see them. I'll share this one. So here now, you can see he popped off of this pod, but look at how squarely he's standing on the right hind. So it gives you a different information than the pads because their own, I can show you this. And I got a question here. I answered that question. Good. Here I used four pods, right? And we can see now he's resting his toe on the left hind. He's standing squarely on the right hind. He's laterally slipped left front and heel slipped right front. Now I will tell you that I had one horse. There is no difference between shod and barefoot. I don't see any difference. And I work with both shod and barefoot. And let me see if I can find a picture of a shod. Oh, I know I have a picture of a shod horse. Hang on, I'm gonna zip through my pictures here and see what I got. This one's shod. Here I stacked a pod on a medium pad. You can see the clip right there. So, and the nail and a little bit of toe slip on it. So I'll stack them. Where's this other one I'm looking for? Oh yeah. Here's another shod horse, but this horse is super interesting because he was seriously high low. And that's what I mean by seriously high low. And we'd already worked with him with pads, using different pads. He was familiar with the pads, but you can just see this wicked toe loading here and then into the heel, and how the pods really show that. I did a couple different combinations of things, let him walk, came back and just repeated the pods again. And then where is my favorite little video of this horse? But already you can see how much more even he is here. And, you know, this is maybe we worked with him a half an hour. I have a little video. Where is it? Here it is. So what's really interesting is if you watch the pasterns in this video, and you can see how the pastern angle is changing. He's swaying back and forth. I'm going to just drag this rather than let it play, because I know if I drag it, it always comes out better on Zoom. So you can see how he unloads the right front, loads more into the left, and then he switches and loads down into the right. And so you can watch the pastern angle change. Let's see if I can keep dragging this. Yep, he's just right there. He went from right to left and then back to the right. And so the pods are just different. You know, it's really fun putting people on pods and watching them, because sometimes they really struggle with them. Other people really love them. Here's just another angle of that same horse on these pods. So it's a different kind of input. But of course, like I said, the horse has to be, you have to be able to target the foot. I hold on to the cannon bone and fetlock, pick up the foot, drop the pod where the foot was, and then aim. But there are some horses, when you're coming down with that leg, as you're coming down, you just have to let go because they don't have any mid-range. So you'll feel horses, they'll have, you know, range where they've closed their joints, flexed everything, and then they get to a certain point of extension and they have to slam the foot down and you just let it go. There's no point in holding on to it. You're looking for, when you pick up a leg, you're looking for an ease, not a heavy leg, not a light leg, but a sense of ease that you can pick it up and you can put it down and there's a full range and you don't have any like drop or tense. And that's what I'm looking for every time I pick up a leg. I'm always kind of checking out the quality of the leg as I lift it. So the first workbook, which I'm hoping will be out by the end of January. I'm not sure because my layout person ran into a delay, but I'm hoping we'll be able to have it out by the end of January. It's going to cover, you know, getting started with Surefoot, the 7 F's, different horse personalities, or temperaments, I mean, and just, you know, some checklists to help ask you some questions. And then I'm already starting to work on the second one, which is going to take you a little more into observation, working with more than one pad, and that sort of thing. And ultimately, the idea is to have a series of workbooks that will take you all the way through pods, through stacking, through, you know, other different things that you can do with your horse with Surefoot. But of course, we all have to get started with that and make sure the horses are relaxed and happy and comfortable with the idea and enjoying it. And yeah, I know it's like a big process, but we're really excited about it. So if anybody has any more questions, I'm happy to answer them. This is your last chance. We've kind of gone over a little bit, but I know you guys don't mind. So I will say that we've been in a bit of a supply chain problem since last July. The company that makes the glue that we use, 3M, ran out of glue and promised us glue and didn't provide it. That, in fact, we never heard anything from them anymore. So my husband and I, Brad, we've been scouring the countryside. We've found a glue that works. We're back into production. We're slowly building up our inventory. So we're still back ordered on a couple of items, but, you know, we'll just keep cranking away and getting back into production and hopefully resolve these supply chain issues like everybody else is dealing with at this point in time. And in the meantime, I'll let you know as soon as the workbook comes out, and I hope you're really enjoying Surefoot and it's bringing great comfort to your horses. I want to thank everybody for joining me today. It's always fun to talk about Surefoot and share that with you. So have a great weekend. We are headed in for a snowstorm. They're talking anywhere from 5 to 8 inches of snow in Virginia. That's kind of a big deal. They've already brined the roads and it's Friday and the storm isn't coming till Sunday. But that's okay. Preparation is a good idea. So thanks for joining me. Have a great weekend and we'll see y'all next week. Take care. Bye.